Welcome to Ask the Expert North Texas here on News Radio 1080 KRLD. I'm David Rankin.
And I'm Kristen Diaz. And joining us this afternoon is Meriden Zerner. She is a dietitian with the Cooper Clinic here in Dallas. We'd love to chat with her about all things health, especially when it comes to our nutrition specifically. And this is a great month to do so, Meriden. This is your month, okay? March is Nutrition Month. What does that mean? Are we just focusing more on our meals? Are we what is the goal this year?
So the goal is actually to focus on just healthier eating habits, sound eating and physical activity habits, because I don't think you can talk about one without the other. Certainly, Cooper Fitness Center and Cooper Clinic has always been an advocate for this recipe that includes taking care of your sleep, stress management, eating a better, more colorful diet, and of course, moving your body. This really is the recipe for well-being.
It really is. And with National Nutrition Month, are there some misconceptions that people have about what is healthy and what isn't necessarily?
I feel like lots of us are confused about certain health messaging, and they may be getting one message from their doctor, which I highly encourage them to listen to, but they may be getting different messaging from maybe a TikTok stream or something like that. We really need to be very careful about our resources and sources of information.
I feel like one thing that Americans have a hard time doing is taking out processed foods out of our realm of convenience. And what companies do a really good job of is maybe slapping labels on things to make it seem healthy when they may not be. What is it about labels and actually physically picking up a product and reading ingredients, reading the nutrition label that can make such a difference in people's health?
I'm a firm believer that label reading, education is empowerment. And this is your one and only precious body. It's your child's, it's your spouse. So taking literally a second or two to flip the package over, look at the label. And if you need help learning how to read a label, that is what dietitians do. That's what National Nutrition Month could be about. Kind of connecting the dots of what's on that label? What does that information mean for me? And you might be looking for, hey, is it lower sodium? Is it higher fiber, which is so important? You know, are there 30 ingredients in there? And maybe we want to dissect which ones are actually helpful, which are not.
When you're reading a label like that, let's dig into it just a little bit. The common wisdom is the first ingredient on a product is typically what it's mostly made of.
That's correct. The first ingredient in the label is going to be what makes up the bulk, if you will, of whatever that food product is. And the last ingredient typically has very, very little in there, less than 2% often.
Can we talk about just health properties of food in general? I know that we say a lot of times that most ailments can probably be fixed with just adjusting our diet. But can we talk about specific foods that really can help boost cognitive, you know, activity and just helping with muscle repair or anything like that, or even just your immunity if you eat certain foods?
So most diseases at this point, we could say that they're rooted in inflammation. So any diet that helps to buffer inflammation, that is respectful of, hey, the body does really well with brightly colored fruits and vegetables, but we have to have fiber to feed the healthy bacteria. You mentioned cognitive health. Well, we rely on the MIND diet for that. Mediterranean and DASH diet, intervention for neurodegenerative delay. And the MIND diet gives us great clarity on have nuts and seeds most days, and have 2 cups of leafy greens whenever you can. I mean, they give us some ideas around how to get this healthier anti-inflammatory diet done.
Problem is, for a lot of people, they can't necessarily afford it. They can't necessarily afford the best food. What do you tell people that are on such restricted income?
That is often a challenge, being able to afford some of these really healthy foods, and perhaps coming together as a community for there to be a shared co-op, perhaps. Maybe it's buying the apples in bulk where you're going to share that with your neighbor. We're watching sales in the grocery stores whenever possible, taking advantage of those, taking advantage of maybe even frozen foods or canned foods that maybe, are going to last longer, and you'll be able to throw, more fruits and veggies on the table.
The theme for this year, every year there's a theme, and you were mentioning how you actually like this year's theme. Why are these themes important?
I think especially now, this theme that we have for 2025 is food connects us. And connection is going to be so important on every level, even our social well-being, our social connections, that matters to our health. But we all sit down, we all eat. And we can do it with family, we can do it with friends, we can share preferences, we can share cultures together through food all along the way, getting great nutrition, really nourish with a flourish is sort of one of my favorite ways to capture this. But this is common ground. We can sit down at a meal together and take care of our brain and body and enjoy fabulous flavor.
Yeah, a new study came out, said by the year 2050 that something like a third of all kids are going to be overweight or obese. Half of adults will be. How do we stop this or reverse this?
This is urgent. This is bold. This is, a five alarm, if you will. It has been for a little while, because we also know that heavier kids become heavier adults. And so the intervention to help our little people is I think, absolutely critical. And it's going to be educating in schools. It's going to be providing healthier, breakfasts and free lunch programming. It's being intentional about healthy snacks. So that's, I think, going to be a all community input. So it's going to be moms and dads. It's going to be grandparents. It's going to be, the PE, the coach, like everybody coming together to be able to push back against a very, very highly processed diet.
What are some steps that parents can take that if their diet is not that great and they're not that regulated, how can they do this as a family? As you say, staying connected, how can they create a safer environment for the children to kind of want to explore with new foods as well?
There's lots of different ways for parents to consider bringing a healthier diet home. And a way to maybe share that with their kids can be, hey, let's try one new food each week. We'll all try it together. Maybe we love it, maybe we don't, but we're all in this together. Maybe we bring them into the kitchen and we work on a recipe together. It doesn't have to be every single night, but maybe find an hour on a weekend to work together to learn a little bit more about fresh preparation of food and what goes into it. And what does this element taste like? What does that element taste like? We might incentivize the kids. Hey, we're going to work toward you being able to get this new book or maybe this small toy or something like that. If you're going to come along on the ride and just try some new foods, take them to the farmer's market, let them pick out a new fruit. Anything that keeps them engaged gives us a way to connect with them and then to connect them with the power of food.
We haven't heard much about one topic when dealing with this issue for a few years, and that's portion size. How much of an issue is that still?
I've seen portions continue to grow, frankly, and that is so challenging, in part because we get a new mental snapshot of, oh, yeah, this is a normal plate of food, when really it's three or four portions. So retraining the brain and also retraining the stomach and adding in a little physical activity will still be part of the recipe for change.
I just have to co-sign on that, because I had to tell myself recently, like, okay, you want to have this, just have like a quarter cup of it. And I was looking at my plate like, that's it. Like, I give my dog more food than I give.
It's puny.
What is this? But it's a big issue. And I mean, I'm joking about the dog portions, but that even that's kind of been kind of a result of our tendencies to be overfed on our own plates, that we're also overfeeding the dog. And now we're seeing all these companies that are catering to dogs and their health and their nutrition.
Yeah, Dr. Cooper says, walk your dog twice a day, whether you have one or not. And now it it's for you and your dog.
Yeah, for real.
What about diets like keto or intermittent fasting?
There are so many ways to approach a diet or a lifestyle, and it's so individual. There may be a select few for whom keto makes total sense, where we don't have to worry about the inflammation or the fact that keto is really low in fiber. There may be a very select few outliers, perhaps, where they can do a more radical or restrictive diet. But the majority of people, the majority of the research for today's human shows that kind of that Mediterranean style that's just got the base of that diet is fruits and veggies. We've got to do more of that.
My other question about things that we consume that I don't know if this is considered nutrition, but what about just drinking enough water? Or I know like on the market, it's kind of been trendy to have like these electrolyte mixes you can put in your water. Is that just as important as part of our nutrition and the meals that we place every single day?
Yes, right. Human beings need shelter. We need food. We need water. And sometimes we eat when we're thirsty. It's called thirst response. And so to lead with a sip of water, a cup of water, probably helps us at least mark that box that we're addressing hydration. And then we may be better able to know, yeah, am I actually hungry? How much am I hungry for? So that might help with portions.
All righty. Well, there you go. Is there anything else you wanted our listeners to know about Nutrition Month?
It's important to recognize that our nutrition needs do change kind of chapter by chapter as we age. And there's a connection there where we're really focusing on what are the needs of a growing body. And then we're focusing on the needs of, you know, young adult and things that we can do as middle-aged folks are caring for our brain and body now to set us up for greater longevity and that quantity and quality of life that is so important for everyone.
That is Meriden Zerner. She is a registered dietitian with the Cooper Clinic here in Dallas. Thank you so much for the time.